Is Hell Real? Dane Ortlund, Crossway, 2022, 64 pages. A book review from Books at a Glance by Michael D. Monk. Dane Ortlund has contributed to the helpful series Church Questions by 9 Marks. The books in this series are intentionally brief. They are intended to pack a punch and provide pastoral guidance on a relevant theological practical question. This book is needed because what has been taken for granted as a firmly established biblical doctrine for centuries has recently been under attack. Ortlund begins, "The Christian teaching on hell offends unbelievers and is quietly avoided by many believers." The first part of that sentence is unsurprising, but the second part is lamentable. Why would Christians avoid a teaching of Scripture, and especially one regularly taught by our Lord Jesus Christ? The topic of hell is not fun. Fair enough. But let fun not be our guiding star. Thankfully, it was not for Ortlund. In this book, Ortlund argues that hell is needed, awful, close, and deserved by every one of us. Commendations. I will defer to the reader to consider the argumentation laid out by Ortlund. For this review, I want to focus briefly on 3 commendations. Ortlund's book is to be commended and read because his book is faithful, applicational, and pastoral. Ortlund boldly follows his Savior when he argues for the necessity of hell. He dispels some false images of hell in the process, and he replaces those false images with what the Bible says. He shows a commitment to affirm what the Scripture affirms and not to go beyond what God's Word says. He sticks to Jesus' teaching in the Gospels, who spoke more on hell than anyone else in the Bible, and who spoke more on hell than any other topic in his preaching. He supports his argument with words from the Apostle Paul, the Psalmist, and texts found in Revelation. Grounding his remarks in Scripture, we see clearly that hell is needed, and that it is even healthy and a comfort to the believer. True application can only be made when the truth is clearly communicated. Ortlund does not offer a faithful picture of the doctrine of hell without also offering some application. Throughout the book, he has his sights set on the unbeliever, the agnostic, and the skeptic. He earnestly pleads with this kind of reader by urging him to find full forgiveness in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because God never looks the other way, the only remedy is to trust Him who is the way to the Father, John 14:6. He even concludes his book thus, spoiler alert, hell is avoidable. Praise God. Jesus Christ is the way for us miserable sinners to get to heaven and avoid hell. A final commendation worth noting is the pastoral heart from which Ortlund writes. As he ministers the gospel to the unbeliever by means of regular calls to trust in Jesus, so he offers comfort to believers. He does not shy away from the awfulness of hell, the horrifying reality of hell, but instead comforts the believer in reminding him that this horror is some of what we have been saved from. Praise be to God. In this, then, he reminds us of both the justice and grace of God. He also addresses an often asked question, "Can I as a believer rejoice knowing that my loved one is in hell?" Relying on Jonathan Edwards for some of his remarks, he assures us that in heaven, everything we love about our lost loved ones will be found in Christ perfectly. Moreover, he speaks a comforting word to those who are wrecked with guilt. Hell is not for the worst people. It is for impenitent people. That is to say, no one is too wicked to be saved by the grace of Christ. Questions. It is perhaps unfair to expect more from an intentionally short book, but Ortlund does leave the reader with some important lingering questions. Some of his remarks make me wonder what he was saying. First, does Ortlund believe that Jesus is in hell in some sense? On page 18, for instance, he writes, "There's a word for heaven without Jesus, hell. This is an overstatement, however, since Jesus is the Lamb in Revelation 4:10, in whose presence are the wicked tormented day and night. Second, what does Ortlund believe about God's eternal decree? He writes that hell is both chosen and not chosen. Hell is chosen by the wicked because they choose to remain impenitent and not trust in Jesus. Hell is not chosen in that God casts the wicked into hell. But there is very little, if anything, in this book that would speak to the eternal decree of God before the foundation of the world to have vessels of wrath. Compare Romans 9. Third, does Ortlund believe that God is passible or impassible? In other words, does God suffer or not? The question arises because of what Ortlund writes on pages 32 through 33. And we have not only broken God's law, we have broken His heart. Frankly, his book, Gentle and Lowly, left me with the same impression, namely, that God is passible. If so, he has departed from the historic understanding of God's being as impassible and immutable. Finally, he does not address two very important questions that are commonly considered under the topic of hell. What about infants of believers and of unbelievers, and those who are mentally unable to make a choice for or against Jesus? Where do they go? And what about those who will have never heard of Jesus Christ? Are they in heaven or hell, and on what basis? Sadly, Ortlund is silent on these questions, most likely because of the need for brevity. However, as a reader, I could have managed to read a few more pages reflecting a faithful, applicational, and pastoral answer to these pressing questions that are on the hearts of many. Overall, I would recommend this book. Ortlund offers a faithful treatment of the subject. Because of its brevity and openness to misunderstanding or follow-up questions, it would be wise to read this book in consultation with a pastor, elder, or someone well-versed in the Scriptures. Michael D. Mock.